morning. I had a moment of panic when Walter started talking in our Sunday school lesson, and I started scrambling quick to make sure we weren't on the exact same passage. We weren't. But it overlaps a lot. This morning I'd like to talk about dead ends. How do we respond when we come to a dead end? What happens when you hit the wall? You get hurt, I mean, but, you know, if you hit it hard enough anyway. How do we respond when it seems that you have a bear at your backside and a wall right in front of you? How should we respond? Do we just give up when it seems we're at a dead end? Or do we push through? I want to turn to Exodus 14 this morning. And our lesson this morning was a good lesson on fear. But what I want to talk about this morning is, what do we do, how do we respond when it seems like God has led us right into the middle of something that we don't want anything to do with? In the setting here, the children of Israel had been slaves for 430 years. So the people who were in this part of the story had all been born in slavery. I don't think there was anyone alive that had been brought to Egypt during the famine and under Joseph's rule. Joseph had died. His brothers, I think, had all died. And here we see that God had promised Abraham over and over that he would make his seed strong. He would make it a large group of people, and that he was going to bless all the families of the earth. And God was doing this as a response to what Adam and Eve had done in the Garden of Eden, that he was going to call out people that were going to change the course of humanity. Instead, they ended up as slaves. And they ended up in slavery for all these years. And from a human perspective, it would be easy to look at God and say, wait a minute, you said this, and here we are. We're having to make bricks, and they're taking away our straw and our mud from us. We're having to do our own stuff. And then we see where later they started complaining because he took them out of that. People can't satisfy them. But in Exodus here, we see that God is faithful to his word and that he now is bringing them out of Egypt. He actually is bringing them out of that slavery and taking them to the promised land. Now here in this passage, that's still the plan. Now did God know that they were going to rebel and do all this other stuff and end up wandering around for 40 years? You can always hope. He could always hope that they would not do that. But they had a choice. So we're going to start in chapter 13 and look at some history here. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 16, is instructions that God gave them to consecrate the firstborn. And explicit instructions on how that was to be done, whether it was an animal or whether it was a person, and that they were to be consecrated and to be given to God, and it was to be forever. And then in chapter 14, I'm going to give you three separate breaks. And in verses in chapter 14, no, back up. In chapter 13, verse 17 through 14:4, God is bringing them now out of Egypt, and he is taking them to the promised land. However, in 17:4, he takes them on a detour. Then in 5 through 14, we have Egypt coming after them. And then in 15 to 31 is Israel's escape. Now, these are all pretty dramatic events that happened. So we're going to start, we're going to read a section at a time. I have 4 points. So we'll start in chapter 13, verses 17 through 14, verse 9 is our first section that we're going to read this morning. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was the shorter route. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. God knew the people. He knew that it wasn't going to take much for them to want to go right back to slavery. God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid. Then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Haroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready, took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Haroth, opposite Baal Zephon. Here we see that God actually was taking them the long way around. And he was taking them the long way around because he knew that there was something about them that as soon as they met resistance, they were going to want to turn back. And even though it was closer for them to go through the land of the Philistines, God chose to take them to the Red Sea. Now that's interesting because I have a feeling God already knew what the next thing was going to be. Because it says that he decided to harden Pharaoh's heart. In verse 4 of chapter 14, he says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. So this detour that they were taking was designed by God. That's my first point. Dead ends sometimes are designed by God. Why did God do this? He took them around so that he would receive glory when something happened and that the Egyptians would know that he was God. The Egyptians needed to know what God had just done. And God told Moses, go ahead and set up camp right there on the base of the sea. And the Israelites could see the Egyptians coming, and I can just, again, it's my imagination here because it's not in the Bible, but I can kind of hear it coming from the back. And you know what? A million plus people, how long did it take to get from back there up to Moses? God already knew it. But the problem was there was no way out. They're sitting ducks. The question that I found interesting as I studied this was the question, did God make Pharaoh pursue them? And the answer actually is in verses 5 to 7. When the king of Egypt was told the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let them go and lost their services." So he made his chariot ready, took his army with him, took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. Now we know that God hardened his heart, but Pharaoh made the decision to pursue them. God did not make Pharaoh do this. But this dead end was designed to do what? It was designed to give glory to God. And how often do we get to those dead ends in our lives and we look at them as something that was designed by God? I don't usually. How about that being for being honest? I typically look at a dead end as something in my way because I want to get something done and I want it done now. And I have a feeling if I would have been in that group of people, I'd have been trying to figure out how to make a boat, how to get these people across. I have a feeling the children of Israel were no different than you or I would have been. I have a feeling they were freaking out. The second dead end is dead ends cause despair when we forget God. And that's in verses 10 to 12. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Now look at how short their memory was, because they were complaining just not long ago about being slaves. They were complaining about all the plagues that they were having to go through, even though they were protected from some of those plagues. And here now they're looking at Moses and saying, "What did you just do? You brought us out here to kill us. Why?" They started blaming Moses for the predicament they were in. "We could have stayed in Egypt and we could have had everything we wanted without being out here and massacred." The second thing that dead ends do is they remind us that God alone is our Savior. Verses 13 and 14. Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent." Look at how Moses responds to these people who are accusing him now of bringing them out here to die. He doesn't look at the situation, or at least he doesn't seem to, and say, "Hey, this is going to work out. It's going to work out just fine. We'll figure this out. We'll figure out a way to put a meeting together. We'll send a committee over. We're going to stop Pharaoh. We're going to look at what the options are." No, he simply points the people to God. He simply looks at them and says, "The Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent." He reminds them that God and God alone is their Savior. God is the one who liberated them from slavery. He saved their backs from the whips of Pharaoh. Will he not save them now? He confidentially says yes. If they will quit their grumbling and let their faith be expressed through confident silence, then they will see God's power at work. Now, how confident do you think Moses really felt inside? I think Moses knew that that was their only hope because he had no answer at that point. And so he said, listen, be quiet, and let's let God handle this. The third thing that dead ends do is they reveal God's power and strengthen our faith in verses 15 to 29. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved in front of them and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. I had never seen that before. The cloud moved from the front to the back. And it made it dark for the Egyptians and light for the Israelites. And I thought that was interesting. That's just a side note there. Now I forgot where it was. The Egyptians pursued them. No, verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back, covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. So listen to this conversation between Moses and the angel, or Moses and God. I'm not sure. It says the angel. But God and Moses had conversation back then. And it seems like Moses may have been wringing his hands just a little bit and saying, you know, these people, God, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. If they rise up in revolt, we're going to have a mess. And God looked at Moses and said, I've already told you what to do. You need to stop praying and do what I just told you to do. Start moving. Put your rod out over the sea and start moving. Well, I know myself a little bit, and I know water, and I'm thinking to myself, what if I do this and nothing happens? You think maybe Moses was thinking a little bit of that? I don't know. I'm imagining some things. But what did Moses do? He listened. He stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Then in verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and all his servants, and in his servant Moses. You know, I've always had this picture, and it comes from a storybook that somebody illustrated to sell books. And there's always this picture of this huge high wall and the Egyptians in the center of the sea. And I think in one of them that I remember as a child, it said that God buried them in the sea. Well, here it says they were washed up on the shore. And the Israelites actually saw their bodies on the shore. They saw the army of Pharaoh on the shore dead. What greater testament to God? So my question that I ask this morning is, did God make a mistake when he took them around the long way and directed them to camp at the edge of the sea? Or did God intentionally send them this way for a reason? Now, they probably made some choices that they were regretting at this point, because I think all of us make choices in life that we sometimes wish we hadn't made. But I wonder, if we would start looking at those detours and dead ends as designed by God, even when we make choices that are wrong, and God brings us to the end of ourselves, he brings us to the wall, and the bear, as it is at our backside, getting ready to rip out the seat of our pants. If we could look at that as God orchestrating something in my life for a reason, would we avoid some more mistakes? Maybe this morning there's something you're facing that looks like a dead end. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's a personal struggle with something that you want to stop. You want to get get victory over something, and you just can't seem to get it. And maybe some of those places we find ourselves are due to our own choices, but God may have just orchestrated the timing and circumstances of your situation to bring you to a place where you're willing to look at God and say, I'll do whatever I have to do to fix this. When we step out in a relationship that appears to be at a dead end, how might God reveal his power? When our finances appear to be at a dead end, how might God show himself? In 1986, Fortune magazine called 35-year-old Michael Franzese one of the most powerful media bosses in the country. As part of the La Cosa Nostra, Franzese had grown up in a world of corruption and violence, but after being thrown in prison for a gas tax scam, Francis says this about being locked up in solitary with only a Bible. I spent 35 months, 13 days in prison, and 29 months and 7 days in that 6x8 hole, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just me and God. I didn't come to God easily. I challenged God. I didn't believe, but only God knows how many times I read my Bible. I came out of there believing that the Bible is God's word and Jesus is my risen Savior. An interviewer went on to ask, so that prison cell was good for you? Francis replied, God saved me in that cell. What appeared like a clear dead end actually led to life. Sometimes those dead ends are where God wants us. And I would say that most of the time, those dead ends is where God wants us, because God can deliver us from that. When I think of the Israelites at the Red Sea, What happens when we are at the end of ourselves? And you know, I generally frantically pray for God to remove the situation. And I'm pretty sure the Israelites were asking God to remove the situation. But God didn't. He took them through it. He took them through the sea. He opened the path for them. And that path led to another covenant with God that was bigger than the covenant that God had given Abraham. It was different. It was not only a call to trust, but a call to action. In other words, God called Moses at that moment not just to put his staff over the sea, but he called him to look to him to strengthen his faith. And because of the events that happened in our Sunday school lesson this morning, Moses ended up leading this group of whiners for 40 years and even lost his privilege to go into Canaan because of a choice that he made. While Moses here pointed to God, he himself at times lacked faith. He himself found himself in the same place that these people were. On the other side of our so-called dead ends, God calls us to obedience and service as his people. Having rescued us and revealed his power, he wants to use us to bring the same deliverance to others. And this morning, I just want to challenge us. Are you ready to live and speak in such a way this week that God, who is over every dead end, the God who can bring hope to the hopeless, are you ready to live and speak in such a way that he is made known in all of those that we interact with? When we are focused on ourselves or our circumstances, we limit the power of God to do what he wants to do in our lives. God doesn't promise to remove the dead end, but he promises to take us through as long as we are obedient and as long as we look to him. Remember, God, very early in this story, said, I will get glory through this. I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Brian, do you have a song? He got one quick, didn't he? All right, you can stand. Sorry, some days it goes that way. Father, this morning, we as your people, we as people who have entrusted our lives to you, we look at these stories in the Old Testament, and it's easy for us to see the result. And it's easy for us sometimes to be critical of the children of Israel or whoever the story is about. And we say, well, you missed the whole story here. God had it all figured out. And then we find ourselves in very similar situations, and it's hard for us to trust. This morning, I pray that these stories that we've looked at will encourage us and will cause us to look to you the way that Moses encouraged the Israelites to do. And that as we look to you, that we can allow you to show yourself in many different ways, whether it's in relationships, whether it's finances, whether it's in personal things that we are struggling with and needing to get help with. Help us, God, to be obedient. Help us to take action on what you've called us to do. This morning, I just pray that you would give us the wisdom to push through while you follow us, while you give us the direction that you give us and to be obedient. Father, I pray this week that you would help us to honor you in all that we do, all that we say, with our lives, with the way we operate our businesses, with the way we live, and the way we relate to each other, and the way we relate to those around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's 7:55.